If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn with me this morning to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. Let's quickly review what we looked at last week concerning the promises concerning the covenant. If you don't have an outline, you ought to get one. Just hold up your hand if you don't have an outline, and our usher will bring one to you in the bulletin. God's promises concerning the covenant can be seen here in verses 3 through 6. I had you meditate on them this morning. To whom were the promises given? Well, they were given, according to verse 3, to Moses. And from whom were these promises given? From God. And what were the promises given? Found in verses 5 and 6. Well, you see the words if and then. There were two conditions. Obey, keep the word of God. And what's the two promises? Look at the phrase that begins with the words, ye shall. Verse 5, it says what? Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. And then look at verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Ye shall be. And now what was the people's promise concerning this covenant that God desired to make with them? Here's their promise. Look at verses 7 and 8. And Moses came and he called the elders of the people. He laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and they said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses, he returned the words of the people unto the Lord. This morning, with those introductory words, the promises concerning the covenant, we're going to turn our attention to the preparations concerning the covenant. The Lord now speaks to Moses about the importance of the people hearing and believing. Look at the very first part of verse 9 when God speaks to Moses. He says this, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak unto thee and believe thee forever. How is God going to bear witness to the people that Moses was his spokesperson? Well, God was going to appear to them in a cloud. And he was going to speak to Moses in their presence, thereby verifying his authority, his God-given authority over the people. Now look at the last part of verse 9, because Moses is going to speak these words to the people. Here's what we read. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. So now Moses is speaking. Moses tells them the way that God is going to demonstrate how he has spoke to Moses and that they should hear and believe him was he was going to speak to him out of a cloud. Look at your very first purpose on your sheet. You know what? If God should tell you and I to speak to others, we ought to purpose to be faithful in relaying his message. This is what the Gideons are all about, sharing. We are a spokesperson for the Lord. We are to speak what he would have us to speak unto others. When we are pricked by the Holy Spirit, by our conscience, to speak words, biblical words unto others, we should be faithful in doing so. God would speak to these from a thick cloud. Now, before we move on, I want to ask you a question. The sign that God gave to them, what he was going to speak to them through a cloud, all right? That was a sign that he was going to give to the people that they should hear and believe the words of Moses. What sign has God given to you that you should hear and obey me? I want you to keep your marker right here, but come with me to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. End of the book, Hebrews chapter 13. I want to read a verse to you. Hebrews chapter 13. I know it's a hard book to find, just before a little epistle of James, but Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look at verse 7. Here's what we read. The author of Hebrews encourages Christians do what? Remember them. Remember who? Well, them which have rule over you. He's talking about your spiritual leaders who have spoken into you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Talking about the promises that God would give to them. Remember them, he says, which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith you are to follow, considering the end of their behavior, their conversation. What the author does here is admonish us to show reverence and respect and follow our spiritual leaders. Those who, by faith, spoken and obeyed the word, thus assuring themselves that they're going to receive the promises, but also we read here, those who follow them will likewise be blessed. Now, be mindful, this is not a blind allegiance, because just two verses later, we read these words, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Just as God gave the people a sign, speaking to Moses out of the thick cloud, thus they were to hear and to heed Moses. God's given you a sign that you're to hear and heed your pastor. And you know what that sign is? Does he speak and does he obey the word of God? Luke writes concerning the Christians in Berea. Trent read it to you this morning. And these were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Acts 17, verse 11. Look at your next purpose, please, on your sheet. You know what? I purpose to search the scriptures to see if what my pastor says and what my pastor does is truly God's word. And if it is, I purpose to follow my pastor's example. The Apostle Paul, he's admonishing the church at Corinth, and he says this to them, be ye followers of me, how? As I am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. The Lord, what I want you to see as we turn back now to our text is this. The Lord speaks to Moses about hearing and believing. This is a message that he wanted to communicate to the people. Hear and believe the words of Moses. Why? Because they're my words. Now the Lord speaks to Moses about the people being sanctified. That's what comes next here in verses 10 through 19. So having told Moses how he will appear before the people in a cloud, he now instructs Moses as to how the people are to appear before him. Look at verse 10 and 11 back in Exodus chapter 19, verse 10 and 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Do you remember what God said to Moses when he appeared first before him at the burning bush? Do you remember those words? Let me remind you, Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. God said to Moses, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. When you and I come into the presence of God, we must come with respect. We must come with reverence. The people were to be sanctified. You know what that means? They were to be set apart. And they were going to be set apart for a sacred purpose, all right? Now, this was going to take them 2 days, it tells us. And then on the third day, they were to present themselves before God. That's what we just read. What all was Moses to tell them that they must do to purify themselves before their holy God? Well, they were to wash their clothes. You can imagine on the journey that they'd been taking that they'd gotten pretty dusty, gotten pretty dirty. I don't know how many change of garments they had. I don't know. I don't imagine a lot, do you? Two, three maybe? And if you're really financially off, maybe four or five different changes. But whatever they had, they were to get it clean before they presented themselves before this holy God, this righteous God. How do you suppose God would have you and I come and worship Him? Today, it's becoming more and more of a custom that the pastors appear before their people in a t-shirt and blue jeans. Now, I'll tell you, I've read the book of Exodus. I've looked at chapter 28, and I've looked at chapter 40. And if there's somebody that should not come in blue jeans and a t-shirt, it's the religious leader, the pastor. You see the emphasis that he puts on the priest and the priest's son, Aaron and Aaron's son. You will go through, and as we get there, you will see them, how they were to dress. It wasn't just in any old way. Come as you please. There was a dress. More and more churches today are encouraging, or at least they're not discouraging. Wear whatever you want when you come to church. We've got more people coming in pajamas. We got them with halter tops. We got them with shorts. We got them in unkept clothes. Their philosophy is, listen, it doesn't matter how you come to church, just as long as what you're wearing has a pocket for your offering. Just make sure you got an offering in your pocket to give. It doesn't matter how you come before you to worship your holy God. Come as you may. Well, you know what? I see in the book of Revelation, God's going to clothe us all with what? White garments. It does make a difference how we appear before God. I want to tell you something. We say a lot to another person as to how we dress before them. We say to them, oh, don't care about you too much. Or, whoa. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to respect you by the way we dress. Now, there's a lot of ways that you and I can show respect to others, by the words that we speak, but also by our dress. I've often thought the bare minimum, and by the way, listen, in this congregation, we don't all have the same wardrobes. I pretty much think that I have more suits than most men in this church. Maybe my son has more than I, but other than that, I probably have the most suits. I have an aspect to go in and pick out something nice. Something that I would wear if I was going to appear before my president. I mean, he's at least worthy of the way I would go before the president or go before the queen of England or some other individual. I want to honor him. I want to show him respect, and I do so by the way I appear before him. Listen. As we turn here to our text again, God wants Moses to impress upon the people that they're presenting themselves before a holy God. And thus they are to clean their clothes before they present themselves. Look at, they were to wash and to wear their best, that's all. Now certainly you realize that the inside is a whole lot more important than the outside, okay? We want to be cleansed on the inside. That's more important than to be cleansed on the outside. But can't we have both? Titus, or 1 Timothy, excuse me, chapter 2. Look at your purpose all. You know what? Out of respect for my Lord, I purpose to strive to be clean both on the inside and outside when coming to worship Him. Now, along with being instructed as to how they were to come, they are also instructed as to where they are to come. Look at verses 12 and 13. And thou shalt set bounds upon the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. And there shall not a hand touch it. But he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be a beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. The sign that they were to come up to the mount would be this long blast on the trumpet, or most likely this was a ram's horn. But the warning Moses was to give the people was that they were not to go up into the mountain, nor were they even to touch it. To do so was going to cost them their life. Now, God wasn't going to kill them directly, because we've seen that times past he can kill directly, but here it was going to be indirectly, having instructed Moses to have them put to death, either by stoning or by spear, by arrow, in that they had showed disrespect to God and his word in not obeying it. Well, look at this purpose on your sheet. You know what? I purpose to show my respect and reverence to my Lord. How? By obeying his instructions to me. Now, once again, we see Moses obeying the Lord's instructions in that he's sanctifying the people. He's having them wash their clothes. But now we see that he's also having them to abstain from physical intimacy with their wife. Look at Exodus 19, verses 14 and 15. And Moses, he went down from the mount unto the people, and he sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. But watch. And he said to the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. So along with them being clean in the aspect of washing their clothes, they were not to be having physical intimacy. They were to present themselves clean, pure. I find it kind of interesting that when I'm looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in that passage, and I'll read it to you. You can turn there if you like to, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul's given some instruction here concerning marriage and concerning the physical relationship. He says, verse 1, now concerning the things wherein I wrote, wherein you wrote unto me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman, all right, not to set her on fire. Nevertheless, he says this, to avoid fornication. What are we to do to avoid fornication? Well, he tells us this, let every man have his own wife. And he says, and let every woman have her own husband. And then he says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. And likewise, the wife also unto the husband. Minister to one another physically is what he's saying. He says, the wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. Ah, but wait a minute. Likewise, also the husband, he hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Then he says, defraud ye not one another. Don't rob your maid of the physical intimacy. Defraud you not one another. Here's the exception. This is why I brought you here. Except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and then come together again, that Satan tempt you, not for your lack of self-control. So do you see what's happening here? Paul says you can abstain from the physical relationship if you both agree to do so in order to enhance your relationship with God through fasting and through prayer. Back here in Exodus chapter 19, the sanctifying process included clean clothes, but it also included abstaining from the physical relationships with one's wife. Look at your purpose that I put down for you. If moved by God to mutually consenting with my mate in abstaining from our physical relationships in order to give ourselves over to fasting and prayer, we purpose to do so. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You can do so. Well, at this point, we see the people presenting themselves before God in verse 16 and verse 17. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp, they trembled. And Moses, he brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether, at the foot part of the mount. It's interesting when we see now the people presenting themselves, or Moses bringing them down to present them before God. I couldn't help but think of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 2. There, Paul, in speaking to the church at Corinth, remember, many of these people he had personally won to Christ, he says to them, he says, you know, I'm jealous over you. You know, I've espoused you to one husband, talking about to Christ. And why had he done that? He said that he could present them a chaste virgin before the Lord. He wanted to present that church a pure virgin. Now, you jump over to Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 27. What does Jesus say about the church? He says, that he'd made this sacrifice that he could present the church a glorious church, not having any spot, not having any wrinkle, that it should be holy and without what? Blemish. That was the purpose for Paul presenting the church holy, coming holy. Christ saying, I'm working in the church that it would be holy, holy, pure. Now watch, one more thing I want to show you. How should you and I present ourselves? We see that they're coming, and they're coming in a holy manner, aren't they? Washing their clothes, no physical relationship. They've come to present themselves holy. Well, it's kind of interesting. In Romans chapter 12, right after he's talked about how people are struggling with the thought that, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. There were some in the church that were struggling with the way God judged, the way that God dealt out different things. They were struggling with it. And he says, well, who's known the mind of the Lord? Who's been his counselor? Who's given to him? So he asked him these questions. He said, how is it? What should you and I do when we're struggling with, I don't think God loves me. Look what's going on in my life. I don't understand his judgment. Why did he judge so-and-so like this? Why does he judge me like this? What's going on? Here's what God says. Ready? Verse 1 of chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, that ye, by the mercies of God, present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, this is the way that you and I should present ourselves before God. When we come to church, our thought should be, I'm coming to worship a holy God. I want to come clean on the outside, clean on the inside. I'm coming to present my body. Because, listen, your soul and spirit's already been redeemed through faith in Jesus Christ. What's not yet been redeemed, people? The old body. And therefore, the battle's on between the spirit and the flesh. There's times in this body you yield those eyes places that you shouldn't yield them. You yield this ear places you shouldn't. And you speak words that you should not speak because you yielded this mouth. God wants us to yield our bodies a living sacrifice unto him. What member of the body did you use this past week to sin against God, to sin against God's creation? Present that fresh and new unto God. God, hear my eyes. Hear my eyes. I'm coming, and I'm coming holy before you. He says, be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed. And how does that happen? By the renewing of your mind. That's what's going on this morning. Your mind is being renewed by the word of God. And how do you know when you've been renewed? Well, you'll be able to say this. You're going to prove everything. How do you prove things are good, acceptable, and perfect? You prove them through the word of God. But I can tell you, when you are in the right state with God, you're able to say, God, your will is good, it's acceptable, it's perfect. That's when you know your mind has been renewed. That's when you know you're thinking right. You're able to say about whatever situation you're in, God is good. God is acceptable. God is perfect. Now you've got a renewed mind. Now you're thinking right. Now you have yielded yourself. You have now presented yourself before God. Holy, acceptable. After all, it's your reasonable service. Keep that thought in mind now as we come back to our text. Because this is what we see. This is not going to just be an ordinary day in the lives of the Israelites. This would be a day that none, if any, would forget. It's much like the day you and I got saved. It's a day most of us have not forgotten. We know that day when God saved us. We just know it. A day when we presented ourselves before God. We note here that the day was going to begin with thunderings and lightnings. There's going to be the presence of this thick cloud upon the mount. These happenings, along with hearing the exceeding loud blast of the ram's horn, caused the people to respond. And how did they respond? You saw it. They were what? They were troubled. What the people had seen, what the people had heard, caused them to have a reverential fear and to obey. It says this, they stood at another part at the foot of the mountain. They didn't go what? They didn't go up the mountain. They believed and obeyed. Look at your purpose, please. You say, oh, things like it's repeating. Well, sometimes we got to repeat things. Hey, when I come to worship God, I purpose to do so with more reverence and respect. All right, so the people, they presented themselves. Now it's time for God to present himself. Look at verse 18. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Along with the thunderings, along with the lightnings in the cloud, there was smoke, there was fire. Man, that mountain trembled. No wonder why the people trembled. And then there was this blast of the ram's horn that grew louder and louder. Look at verse 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by a voice. The only way I could imagine this sound or what it sounded like was to remember when we worshiped downstairs. Now, if you would go downstairs, there's a hall just like here, comes up to the front. And we used to worship downstairs, up in the front. And there's a closing. We had a guy in the church who played the bagpipes. And he started in the back, in the hallway, and he started coming out, playing those bagpipes. And the closer he got, the louder they got. The closer they got down there, and when he went through the opening doors, I thought the windows were going to blow out. It was so loud. Well, this is what that's the best I could think of, an illustration of what it must have seemed like to the people, that this ram's horn kept getting louder and louder and louder. Whereas the setting had the effect that the people trembled, there's another purpose for all of this. It was to picture for the people the awesome glory and greatness of God. This God who was about to enter into them or with them with a covenant. You say, well, now, how do you know that? Well, because I've read Deuteronomy. And if you want to turn there with me, fine. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 is a duplicate of Exodus chapter 20. But we have some added thoughts here. Concerning this. And one of the added thoughts we have is this is all about God's greatness and his glory. Listen to these words out of verse 22. Deuteronomy 5, verse 22. These words of the Lord, he spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, of the thick darkness, with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tablets of stone, delivered them unto me. And it came to pass when you heard the voice of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me. Here's how they responded. Even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and greatness. That's how I know the other purpose for this. The Lord our God has showed us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with men, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there, all flesh, that have heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Oh, now they encourage Moses. Oh, go thou near and hear all that the Lord God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Why? That it might be well with them. Pay attention now. And with their children forever. Now, do you remember ever hearing that phrase or those phrases before? That it might be well with them and their children forever. Listen as I read to you something from the book of Ephesians concerning children and their obedience to their parents. Listen to what we read from Ephesians. He says this now, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning now with verse 1, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Listen, if you think this promise of them hearing and obeying was only given to the nation of Israel, you're wrong. This is for you and I. This is for our children. If you and I will hear and believe and obey, there's promises. It's going to be well with them and with their children forever. He says in verse 31, but as for thee, stand thou here by me. I'm back in Deuteronomy chapter 5. He says, stand here and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and all the statutes and all the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess. Ye shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which your Lord God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Same two promises as in Ephesians. So what am I saying? Well, I'm saying this. It was for God's greatness and glory and our good if we would fear and obey. If they would fear and obey, it would bring good unto them likewise. Look at your purpose. You know what? When God comes to me, I can assume he does so for his glory and my good if I will fear and obey. The Lord now speaks to Moses from top of Mount Sinai. We're in Exodus 19 again. We're looking at verse 20. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses, he went up. God calls Moses and only Moses to come up to the mount. Notice the instruction now God gives to Moses, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people. Why? Lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. God warns Moses to go back down and warn the people not to try to come up Mount Sinai to see him. But it wasn't just the people he was to warn. It was also the priests. Look at verse 22. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. Perhaps a priest thought, well, wait, if Moses can go up, surely we priests of God can go up too. This phrase, lest the Lord breaks forth upon them, was a warning that God would judge them if they were to do so. You know, it's kind of interesting. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:7, he's describing love, and there he says, love believeth all things. Watch the spirit of Moses. Moses believes, man, Lord, you told him once, that's all you got to do. Look what happens. Look at Moses' response to the Lord. When, remember, now the Lord's saying, okay, Moses, I want you to go back down, and I want you to warn the people, and I want you to warn the priests, don't you come up, don't you come up. And here's what Moses has to say. Verse 23, Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set the bounds about the mount and sanctify it. Lord, they're not going to come up. You've already told them not to come up. That's all we got to hear. Hear once, right? We don't need to hear God's commandment a second time. Once is enough. That's what Moses is thinking. Well, let's see what the Lord's thinking. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lamb. Let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses, he went down unto the people, and he spake unto them. God knew what was in their heart. He knew what was in the heart of the priest. He knew what was in the heart of the people. They were bent on coming up that mount, even though they'd been told not to. How many times has God warned you about the same sin? Well, he only has to tell me once, preacher. Liar. How many times has he told? What member are you not, you have you not surrendered to God? Present yourselves a living sacrifice. What member do you need to surrender to God? Look at your last purpose as we close today. You know what? I purpose to give God thanks for being long-suffering towards me. But today I do purpose not to try his patience any further, in that I purpose to fear and to obey in that area where I have been disobeying him. Present yourselves. That's what this is all about. God presents himself before us. We're to present ourselves before him. We're to do so in a holy manner. Outwardly, inwardly, asking God to just bless us. And here's the promise that we've been given. As Christians, if we will hear and believe, if we will hear and obey, God will bless us. God will bless us with many years. God will bless us. You need to believe that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the promises that you have given not only to the nation of Israel, but even unto those who belong to the church through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, you have blessed this people, your people, you desire to bless them in even greater means and ways. If we will but just hear and obey. I pray that many right there in their seats are just fresh and new, presenting themselves unto you. They are yielding a particular member of their body. That member that just seeks to give them all kinds of grief and through their sins. I pray, Father, that because of the commitment they're making right now, that you will open up the heavens and bless them with victory. And because of the victory, that you will bless them in just all kinds of ways. We thank you. We praise you, God, for your word. Help us to hear it and to obey it. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.